And, of course, the interactive portion of the program will take your calls with our two special guests, Scott Smith and Sandra Wells, in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Scott Smith, Sandra Wells, and your calls. Scott, you were talking about ufologist Jacques Vallée. Go ahead.
Yes, he's best known as probably the scientist on who was the model for Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
The Frenchman, that's right.
Yeah, and he was actually J. Allen Hynek's assistant during the Project Blue Book cover-up by the Air Force. And then they realized that all their explanations really weren't working well, so they defected and formed the Center for UFO Studies. And I think he's the greatest creative thinker in the field. He came to the same conclusions that I did, which is the science that the aliens talk to the abductees about really doesn't make any sense. And it appears that they want us to believe that they're aliens. But when you start digging deeper, you come to a conclusion that these are, he and I share the same kind of outlook with, these are entities that are malevolent but not very powerful in this dimension. And that explains both in a way why they play at the edges of reality, they can threaten. As I like to say, yes, the UFOs don't land on the White House lawn, but neither does the Virgin Mary. The positive and the negative entities really have a hard time operating in this dimension, and supposedly that's why they are trying to create hybrid humanoids. David Jacobs, who's quite a good academic thinker about abductions, wrote a book recently called Walking Among Us. The problem I have with this is that he has literally 187 pages on why the program isn't working. Supposedly, they don't want to destroy Earth civilization. They just want to infiltrate it. But it's very hard to imitate human beings. And so everything goes wrong. And after a while, you just realize, you know, if these guys can't get their act together to infiltrate, they're not really very powerful. So I would say that Vallée and I have come to the conclusion that they're not benevolent. They're just not that menacing, but they do like to be worshipped in various forms. And probably what they're trying to do is get people to pay attention to them according to their mythology, whether it's spaceships or the angel Gabriel or whatever it is. All these entities have a long history of interacting with human beings and pretending they're greater than they are.
And, of course, his book, Messengers of Deception, is exactly what you've just said.
Yeah, it's definitely a distraction. I mean, when you think about it, how are we spending our lives, whether it's God or the aliens? Most of our lives are kind of irrelevant to any spiritual mission that we're supposedly here for. I mean, we sleep a third of the time, we're involved with work or commuting or studying a third of the time, and the rest of the time, we're distracted by exercise, fashion, food, sports, Twitter, and, you know, all kinds of other nonsense. So it does seem to be deception and distraction seems to be at the core of what these entities are trying to do with us.
Sandra, what would you say is your most unusual paranormal experience?
My unusual what?
Paranormal experience.
Well, I will go into it lightly if I can. I think that I experienced the crack between the visible world and the invisible world with my curiosity. I looked high and low for a teacher. Never thought I would find them in this century.
Mm-hmm.
Never thought I'd find anybody, and I did. And it was the most unbelievable experience of my life to this moment. The most turning point in my entire life was working with this teacher. And working with him was very, very different. I had no idea who he was. He didn't seem very impressive. Came to my house one night after I...
A physical teacher, somebody...
A physical person, yeah.
Okay.
And he had been the same type of books that I loved. It seemed like, I don't know where I actually... actually met him. I met him at some little ceremony, and somehow one night we had arranged him to come over, and he said that he, I said, well, you know, do you practice? And he said, yes, I do. And I said, would you do something for me and with me? He said, maybe, yes, I think. He came over, and I was living in this townhouse that had big windows and a door, and I was prepared for nothing because he didn't seem that impressive. And he took out a little case of which he had his instruments, and he asked me if I ever worked in this magic circle, and I said no, but I'd read about it in the Golden Dawn and various fabulous books that I've had. And he said, well, just one thing I want you to do is not leave until I tell you it's okay. And I said, okay, and I sat there. And he started this incantation, north, south, east, and west. And as he was doing this, the energy in the room became very, very powerful, so much so that I was frightened out of my skin. It's my hair stood on ends, and I absolutely was terrified beyond belief. Didn't know what I got into, but I invited the devil into my life. I did. And as he's doing this, I'm so frightened, I didn't think I could live. It was like, it did remind me of, you know, horrible energy and strange exorcist and Rosemary's Baby type of energy.
Jeez.
And as he was talking to me, and my, it seemed like I lost consciousness, seemed like I wasn't there for a while, but then I sort of retrieved myself, and as I'm coming back, I said to myself, my God, it works, but who is this person? And as he was saying, begone, the windows of this big townhouse flew open, the door flew open, and I was really terrified. And I said meekly, you know, can I close these windows? And he said, yes. And I never wanted to see him again, ever.
How'd you get rid of him?
I said, good, you have to leave right this minute, and don't ever call me again. I was really, I thought it was a devil, I did.
Did he leave?
He left, and he said, don't worry, everything's going to be okay. I said, no, it's not. I think I already met Scott by that time. I think I called him and said something, the weirdest thing happened in the whole world. Come over and keep me company right this minute. And he did. But I know that I had second thoughts. He called me a few times. I said, no, never again. And then I thought to myself, I felt so great after this procedure, operation was called. I felt so liberated from my usual chatter, my nonsense. It was like I had a clean slate. And it lasted for about 6 months or so, this fabulous feeling. So I thought, you know, maybe I could handle it again. So when he called, I said, okay, we'll try.
Try it again, huh?
I tried, and it was with him as a pupil, as a vessel, I call it, for about 8 years, maybe about 10 different operations. The most prominent one was when my father went in very, very ill. My mother could handle it, and he did somehow save his life, where he lasted another 5 years, gave her time to get used to the idea of him leaving this world. But he was a very powerful teacher. Scott met him himself. And he was the real deal. And as I said, I never became what he became. I was only the vessel. But to be in the presence of somebody who could manipulate the atmosphere the way he did, because it was something that you'll never, ever, anybody have experienced but me. I know that it changed my life that moment, and I never experienced anything like that. He died some years ago, but I had 8 years or 9 years with him. And it was the key point of my life. The most important thing that ever happened to me was that relationship. So that is what I could say about that. I mean, you know, the detail is that it was a feeling. Once you leave this atmosphere, it's powerful and weakening at the same mm-hmm. time. It's so the strangest thing in the world one could ever experience. I'll never forget it.
How about you, Scott? Your strangest paranormal experience?
I've had two mystical experiences, both of them basically accidental, you might say, having to do with my search for the truth. And the second one, the first one was the kind of the realization that all the mainstream religions were telling what I call the ultimate big lie. This. And it was kind of negative and a shock, The second one, a few months later, was more entering the heavens, and I felt I had a mission to learn the truth and then present it, but I wasn't told what path to follow. So I spent the next 16 years, part of it with Sandra, traveling the world, trying a little bit of everything, Jain ceremonies, Buddhism, you know, and eventually I came across the same Gnostic spiritual path that Jacques Vallée did. But if I had been handed this on a silver platter, I wouldn't have spent 16 years looking at all the different religions and comparing them. That totally changed my life. And since then, doing shows like this, talking with people, forces you to rethink your ideas. And so it's a constant learning process. It's an ongoing path of enlightenment.
Let's go to the calls. Jonathan in Texas, first-time caller. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you?
Okay, thank you.
Good. I just have a short experience. I felt now I was about 8 years old.
I need you to get closer to your phone, John.
Okay, can you hear me now?
No. Tommy, check on first-time caller. Very muddy phone line. Annie, wildcard line. Hello, Miss Alabama.
Hello, George. Thank you very much for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I would just like to ask a question. Earlier in the show, it was mentioned about the black phenomenon or some phenomenon.
Black thumb.
I looked it up, and I couldn't find it. How do you spell it? Where if you stand by a machine, it'll malfunction.
Go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, there's something called the black thumb phenomenon. Certain people... you know, you've heard of a green thumb, like in a garden. This is like the opposite, and it will shut. Some people can just shut down computers and other electronic equipment by standing near them. And Dean Radin got his career in the paranormal when he was at Bell, researching why this happened.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, I don't know that they fully understand it, but certain people, just like some people are psychic. Certain people have this ability. So he started doing some testing from a purely scientific standpoint. He didn't think it was psychic or anything, and that ultimately led him into the ESP research. But in the technology world, there it's known that there are certain people you don't want them to get near machines. They're like radioactive to technology and stuff, and that's what sparked this career. And, of course, he's gone on to realize that there are all kinds of phenomena we don't understand. And, you know, we're still in the Stone Ages. I mean, we just discovered that the whole universe is full of dark energy and dark matter. Why do we think we've figured out anything, you know? And to be closed-minded is just completely absurd.
Do you think the paranormal, Scott, enhances religion or shatters it?
Well, it can do both. I think that if you have a near-death experience, most people come away not fearing death anymore, very much like the mystery religions, and they believe in an afterlife. And the near-death experience research shows that it's culturally conditioned so that everybody gets kind of a similar afterlife, but depending on, you know, what their background is. But on the other hand, as in my case, it can be very challenging because... I think if you look deep enough, you realize that all the New Age and religious ideas that we're here for growth and it just betrays an ignorance of prehistory. I mean, you know, when you have a 25% fatality rate in childhood, it doesn't seem like an advanced civilization or a deity are in charge. I guess Jehovah was too busy cooking up 600 commandments to mention that there are germs and viruses, you know. So, yeah, for me, it was disillusioning. For most people, if they have something paranormal or supernatural, it will probably strengthen their faith, but they might end up being rather unorthodox.
Let's go to Joe in Monterey, California. Joseph, go ahead.
Thank you, George, for taking my call.
Thank you, Joe.
Wow, that's a pretty scary experience that you had with that powerful magician. Yeah, I guess people need to be shocked to wake up. My question is, and it's a very basic question for the scientist, you know, the those who believe that the physical world is all there is. Why do they believe that life only exists on the physical plane? I believe your guests already know that life exists on many different planes. One of the most powerful experiences a person can have is what he said, that you travel out of the body. This is not astral projection, George. This is soul travel. This is a much higher part of you. It's soul.
And you transmeditation.
Well, you can travel through meditation at the start, like a gate, a window. But you don't use your astral body. You use your consciousness, and you travel with your consciousness out of the body or into a higher world. You don't have to go straight into this world as soul. You could just go to a much higher world, like the mental world or even what the Hindu calls the absolute. And that will wake people up. If they believe in God, this will confirm that there is a power beyond, and it's conscious, and it knows, and it is. And that's in the absolute. That's when you reach these higher states of being.
Scott, what do you think of that?
Well, I would actually invite your listeners to go to godreconsider.com and share those kind of experiences. I'm actually looking for people who have the ability to leave their body and come back with some information on what the afterlife is like, because there's a lot of contradictory information out there. It hasn't been done. And if you need a handbook, Scott Rogo's Leaving the Body gives you a lot of techniques on how to do it.
And the book, of course, God Reconsidered, is still available, right?
Yes, it's on Amazon. It's having an afterlife of its own, as well as The Soul of Your Pet is still up there, amazingly enough.
You know, when we talked in July, we talked about COVID. Has anything changed in your mind?
Well, obviously, nobody thought that things could get this bad. I think one of the reasons people don't understand what's happened is that they don't know, they don't look at the worldometer, which is like world, O, and then meter.com site, which gives the deaths per million. And that's crucial, because then you find out which countries have done well, and we can learn something from them. As it happens, the U.S. has had 1,860 deaths per million, which makes us the 14th worst country in the world. We're down there with Brazil and Peru and so forth.
And India.
But
yeah,
you can contrast that with all kinds of countries that had very low numbers. Egypt, 150 instead of our 1860. The Philippines, 207.
Thailand was very low.
South Korea, 39, that sort of thing.
That's a good point. Stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM and take final phone calls here with our two special guests, Scott Smith, Sandra Wells. The website is godreconsidered.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Final calls when we come back. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to talk about the history of the space race, and then later on, the weirdest movies ever made. So make sure you're part of the program. In a moment, we'll be back with final calls with our two guests, Scott Smith and Sandra Wells, and a surprise guest that's going to make a quick appearance. And welcome back. George Norrie back with you, along with Scott Smith and Sandra Wells. The website, godreconsidered.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Back to the calls. Jay in Tampa, Florida, east of the Rockies. Hey, Jay, welcome to the show.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good okay.
Good morning.
Hope you are, too.
Good. I wanted to ask your guests if they have any knowledge of hemisync technology, and if I could tell my own experience with that.
What kind of technology was that?
Hemisync. It has to do with sound in order to create some sort of supernatural experience.
Okay. Have you, Scott?
I haven't. Sandra, are you familiar with it?
No.
But it sounds like a great idea if you can have a device that helps.
It was created by the Monroe Institute. And,
oh, Monroe Institute.
Long story short, I thought it was dying from
Sandra
cancer.
Knows something. So.
Yeah, they had fabulous tapes, and I like the light and sound machines myself. I use them to put myself in the alpha state so I can transcend the human condition, which is all the chatter. And when you go into this alpha state using the light and sound machine, and you have a clear space to work with, then you can do visualization tapes, but fabulous ones using, I think, Charles Pfeffer is the one I like the best for visualization, visualizing something in like 100 shades of gray and very specific work. And it's very, you must do it every day. I have a professional machine that you can make wonderful tapes for, and it shouldn't be more than 40 minutes. Once in the morning, it's quite a long time, but you've got to go under, and then you've got to use the tapes to better your life, and it's one leg up. Rather than trying to do it yourself, it's best to use a tape if you can make one or have somebody make one for you. And the Monroe Institute had a lot of different kinds of tapes. I like the ones that are mostly light and sound, not so much affirmations, because I think that you have to get into the space first, and the lights help regulate and make the left and right hemisphere become one. So I love that Monroe Institute. I haven't heard about them in a long time.
That's a great one. Sandra and Scott, we've got a little surprise guest for you. We're going live to Israel. Uri Geller is with us, our buddy. Uri, welcome.
Oh, no, this
is George,
too funny.
This is so fantastic to hear from you. I'm speaking to you from old Jaffa.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe it.
We've got two of your friends on, Scott and Sandra. Say hi to Uri.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, Uri, you're so fabulous. We were just talking about you and reading all the nonsense from critics and stuff like that and recalling all the great times we had with the books and stuff like that. Sandra's been reading the books lately, all about your experiences and everything. So she's been obsessed with this for several days.
Yeah,
oh, my Lord. How are you doing?
Let me just add that the critics actually made my career. The skeptics built the enigma and the mystery and the mysterious around me. So I have to send them 1,000 bouquets of flowers. You know that 100 years ago, Oscar Wilde said, there is only one worse thing in life than being talked about, and that's not being talked about.
Oh, that is so funny. Yeah, well,
what a treat.
Yeah, you definitely, how have you been doing with all the problems in Israel?
Well, we had a few missiles, if I may say a few, but there were hundreds and hundreds of missiles coming into Israel, also into Tel Aviv. And there are lots of sirens, so we took shelter. But what is quite extraordinary in Israel is that we are over the COVID. Just yesterday, the government announced that we do not have to wear any more masks.
Yeah.
There are no more deaths from COVID. So we really took care of all that terrible, I would say, panic that engulfed all our planet with the virus. And there's no doubt in my mind, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, that this virus was created in Wuhan by Chinese military. And I don't believe it escaped unintentionally. I think it was intentionally released into the world to cause chaos, economical chaos. I mean, come on. The people, for 1 year, planes weren't flying. There were no tourists. There were thousands of billions of dollars lost. So that is my theory. I would like, George, if you'll allow me to mention.
Sure.
I just published my new book. It's called Uri Geller, Learn How to Douse. Very few people know this, but the American Army flew me to South Korea to use my dowsing techniques to discover secret tunnels that were dug by North Koreans to invade South Korea.
Wow.
I mean, I have...
Wow.
Quite extraordinary. Yeah.
And how are things there with Netanyahu out now?
Well, you know, I've known Netanyahu for over 50 years. I've known him when he was a young commando officer. I worked at that time for Mossad. And, you know, he's been for many, many years,
yep,
the prime minister. But I do believe that there was nobody like Netanyahu, the eloquent speaking, the charisma, the power, the energy, the people he knew around the world. I believe that with this COVID, because of Netanyahu, because he immediately ordered millions of vaccinations into Israel. So my intuition tells me that he will be back. You all know the famous actor, Clark Gable. Do you remember his last words?
No.
Well, actually, it was a Terminator.
I'll be back.
I'll be back. Wasn't that Arnold Schwarzenegger?
That's right.
No, I believe Netanyahu will be back.
I love it. Uri, keep in touch with us, okay?
Bless you all. Thank you very much. And don't forget to check out my website.
We'll do some publicity for your book.
UriGeller.com, of course. And that's a little surprise for you, Scott and Sandra. I hope you like that.
Oh, my Lord. That is a real gift. And, he's seems to be thriving. I'll be fascinated to read this new book. And certainly Israel has been a good role model for the United States on, taking the virus seriously and
Absolutely.
Dealing with it and not being too hysterical about it.
Let's go to Ed in Tehachapi, California. Welcome. Hey, Ed. Welcome to the show.
It's been a little while since we chatted, huh?
It has, my friend.
I agree 100% with Uri. If you look closely at that virus, it's pretty obvious it was engineered on purpose, and I don't believe for a minute that it just slipped out of that lab. And that'll come out at some point as some of these virologists become brave enough to tell the truth. So, anyway, what I called about was, since your two guests brought up, Scott and Sandra brought up, the people that were affecting equipment in a bad way, I'll tell you a funny story. While all the publicity was on the Hal and Russ's lab up a mile up the road from Stanford at SRI, I had a laboratory on the Stanford campus that was doing quiet work in the psychic energy field. And one of the first grants I received back in 1975 was from Kodak.
Whoa.
And it was a grant in order to help find a way to weed out the film foggers. You didn't want people that touched film and caused the problem on your vacation photos in the laboratory. You didn't want those people in the lab working on processing the film.
They would expose your film before anything even happened.
Well, it put smudges, the funny-looking white smudges, like hazy clouds and stuff on the film. And that led to a very important psychic energy detector I invented that I've not given great publicity to.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a fascinating. Boy, all the untold stories.
There are many. Thanks a lot, Ed. Next up, Marcus in Virginia. Welcome to the program. Hi, Marcus.
Thank you, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I wanted to ask your guests, and I caught actually the last half of the show, so I don't know if they addressed any of this at all. Years ago, I'm in my 70s, but years ago, I dabbled in cannabis and really enjoyed it, and like everybody else, had a good experience. After a while, though, it seemed like I had some over in Asia that was different. It was treated or something. And since that time, if I'd ever tried it again, it would open up an audible cacophony or whatever you call it, of voices, people that were talking to me, they were discussing things with me, and, it was quite scary.
Sure, and they weren't there, were they, physically?
They didn't, they never appeared or anything like that, but it was just so real. It was like telepathic talking to groups of people or aliens or what? I don't know.
What would cause that, Scott?
Well, Graham Hancock has a very interesting book called Supernatural about the shamanic use of things like ayahuasca. And I think he makes a pretty compelling case that many of these things do allow one to have access to another dimension, and that he shows why these aren't just hallucinations. And I had an experience like that with ayahuasca, and Sandra and I have tried magic mushrooms, and Sandra can tell you, she had she took Sandoz LSD with Timothy Leary and Ram Dass before he was Ram Dass, so she's had quite some dramatic experiences. But yeah, this is a whole world. Maybe the legalization of cannabis will allow people to access these other realms a little more easily.
Let's go to first-time caller Wendy in Bullhead City, Arizona. Wendy, are you safe from those wildfires out there?
No, they're not in Bullhead.
Well, that's good. Go ahead.
They're over the hill. But thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I met you at the Aquarius at the UFO conference.
Right, a couple of years ago.
Yeah, March 2019 it was.
Yep.
I'm calling for Sandra. I'm wondering, Sandra, in 1965, I was in Canoga Park, and I'm wondering if we both saw the same thing up in the sky.
That would be the oddest thing ever. That would be the oddest thing ever if you saw the same thing I saw. Was it Mulholland and Laurel Canyon, that area?
No, Canoga.
Canoga, no. I don't know. It might have moved, but...
Could have moved over, sure.
Could have moved over.
Absolutely.
I mean, nobody I met saw it, but I remember it very vividly. Could have moved over.
How big was it?
Very, very. I would say I couldn't judge the size. It was just tremendous. It just didn't seem to have any means of support.
Triangular?
It was kind of like flattish. I thought it was a circus something. Lots of light.
Well, something's going on. And you know, Scott, they're saying it's either ours, Russian or Chinese, or ETs, but nobody knows what, or at least they're not saying.
Well, you know, we've known people who worked on all kinds of black projects out in North L.A. County and so forth, and you know, there's certainly the things that have been reported, by the Pentagon recently, certainly show that whatever these things are, they're not behaving the laws of physics as we understand them and with the materials we have. So there certainly could be some advanced stuff, but frankly, I think the U.S. government's probably ahead of everybody else on that, and you know, we don't really know what they're doing. But I think most of these encounters that are being reported by the pilots, you know, have nothing to do with that. And, you know, I guess the universe decided to rip open the box and let people see what's going on. I mean, this has been an almost overnight change from, oh, it's a whole bunch of nonsense and, you know, people who are on drugs or something. And suddenly it's on 60 Minutes and acceptable.
We only got a couple minutes left. Sandra, let me ask you first. If you're telling an audience of millions, what's it like to be so paranormally inclined? What will you tell them?
What was your question?
If you had to deal with telling people about the paranormal, what would you tell them? Is it real?
Well, I do think it's real. I think that the world, the invisible world, is available to those that dare to venture into it. I do think it's real. I think that anything you can't explain, they call it magic. It really, really is something that is available for those that really have the curiosity to look into it. I do think it's all real.
How about you, Scott?
It's so real that it's scared the skeptics into total denial. And it's the UFO is like the Trojan horse. This is the first thing that they can't ignore. And I think the rest of the mob is going to be spilling over from the supernatural pretty soon. So maybe we'll be seeing ghosts and goblins. Who knows?
You wrote a book back in 1998 called The Soul of the Pet. That's still available?
It's having an afterlife on Amazon. And this is one of the strange things, is there is actually a lot of eyewitness evidence that animals have souls, and it often comes from people who have no emotional connection to them. So it's not just somebody wishing their dead pet would come back. You know, it's a pretty convincing book, out of print, but still on Amazon.
Scott and Sandra, thanks for being on the program. Appreciate it. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, Ian Punnin, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.